For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Three Aspects of Prayer, as we pick up in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not going to be easy, but the Lord is going to be there, and the Lord will give you strength, and the Lord will help you. So, the worries, the concerns, the anxieties, pray about them. Give them over to the Lord. Cast all your cares on Him, because He cares for you. And so with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, three aspects of prayer. Prayer itself is a very broad term that describes communion with God. Prayer is not a monologue. It's a dialogue. And it's important that we wait for God to speak to us, as well as to speak to God. So many people consider prayer a monologue. I want to go in and talk to God. And I do all the talking. And when I'm finished talking, I get up and leave. I never wait for God to respond or to answer. Through the years, I've come to the conclusion that it's more important that God talk to me than I talk to God. I am convinced that what God has to say to me is far more important than what I have to say to God. And I've sought to develop that listening side of prayer. The communion, prayer is communion with God. Listening for Him to speak to my heart. Laying my heart out before Him. Waiting upon Him. Worshiping Him. Loving Him. All a part of prayer. Another part of prayer is supplication, my request, where I present to God those needs of my life, those needs in the lives of those around me. The supplications are personal, but they can also go into intercession. So there's request in a narrow sense for my own needs, and then in a broader sense for the needs of those around me, the intercessory prayer. And then there is that thanksgiving aspect of prayer. Now as we look at the Lord's Prayer as a model, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see, it begins with the acknowledgement of God and the greatness and the glory of God. The name of God, hallowed be that name, reverend be that name. Petitions, in a broad sense, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth even as it is in heaven. Petitions, in a narrow sense, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Praise, glory, thanksgiving, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So it begins with worship. It ends with worship. Sandwiched in between are petitions and intercession. And so we find prayer, supplications, thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, the result of this, will be the peace of God, which passes human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You'll experience such peace. Hey, what are you going to do? Well, I've prayed about it. Yeah, but what are you going to do about it? Well, I've already done it. I've prayed. Yeah, but you can't just pray. You got to do more than that. No, God's going to take care of it. I have peace. It's in God's hands. I've turned it over to Him. I'm not struggling with it anymore. I'm not wrestling with the issues anymore. I've turned them over to God. And now I'm going to rest in Him. I'm going to have an experience, that peace that passes human understanding. Passes your own understanding. You can't understand how that you can feel such peace in the midst of such turmoil. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That pretty well eliminates television, doesn't it? Of all of the mental pollution that is going out night after night over the major networks, our whole nation is being polluted by the television industry and by the movie industry. I mean, it's leading the nation right down the tubes. Why? Because it's having people think on things that are impure, unholy, filthy, unrighteous, immoral. And those are not the things we need to be thinking on. It's sort of tragic that a lot of people watch TV just before they go to sleep, because you plant that junk in your mind just before you drop off. You know, I have found that what I plant in my mind the last thing at night before I go to sleep is something that sticks with me. I learned as a child that I can memorize any poem by reading it over three times before I went to sleep. In the morning, I could get up and recite it. Poems of several pages. All I had to do is read them over three times before I went to sleep. In the morning, I could recite them. Because it seems like during the night, what you've planted just before you go to sleep has a way of your mind continuing to work on it. In many areas across the United States, we've begun our Word for Today broadcast on many stations now at 10 o'clock at night. And a lot of people have gotten in the habit of setting their clocks and all their radios to, you know, from 10 to 10:30, and then, you know, the thing flips off, and I put them to sleep every night. But what a wonderful thing, the last thing at night, to be planting in your mind that which is pure, that which is true, that which is honest, that which is just, that which is lovely, that which is of virtue and good report. Think on these things. Interesting how we like to think on other things, isn't it? The hurts, the disappointments, the nasty thing that he said to me. Here's a good model to follow. I think that somewhere around the house, we ought to put up true, honest, just, pure, that our minds, we gear them towards these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Paul the Apostle, when he was talking with the elders at Ephesus, he said, I was daily with you, teaching you and showing you. It was show and tell with Paul. His life was the example of that which he was preaching, and so should it always be. It isn't just the proclaiming of the truth, it is the demonstration of the truth. And so Paul tells them, those things which you have learned and received and heard and you have seen in me, I set the example before you. Do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. In other words, you were anxious to send me some help, but you lacked opportunity. Epaphroditus, you remember, had come to Rome with an offering from the church in Philippi for Paul. And so their care of him has flourished again. They sent him a very generous offering. They had desired to do it before now, but of course he had been on his way from Caesarea to Rome. He had been on that ship that was wrecked and spent a lot of time. They weren't able to catch up with him, but now finally that he's sitting there in prison in Rome, they're able to get to him again, and they send this offering. And so he thanks them that this care for him has flourished again. Not that I speak in respect of want. It's not that I really am, you know, desperately in need. It isn't that I have tremendous needs while I'm here. For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, to be content. Oh, what a tremendous lesson we need to learn. Because always the state that we're in might not be the most pleasant state to be in. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. Chained 24 hours a day to a different Roman guard as they would make their changes. And yet content. For I've learned whatever state I am in to be content. And I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. It doesn't matter to me. I can live with it. I can live without it. I've learned to be content with it. I've learned to be content without it. Whatever state God sees to put me, I'm content because my life is in God's hands. He's in control of those things that surround me. He wrote, "Godliness with contentment is great riches." I've learned how to be content. For I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And there's the secret. I can abound, I can be poor. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, as Jesus is talking about his relationship to his disciples, he said unto them, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears fruit, he washes it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and let my words abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, neither more can ye, except ye abide in me. For without me, you can do nothing." Do you believe that? I didn't for a long time. The Lord had to prove that to me. I thought there was something I could do worthwhile in my flesh. And I tried so long to offer to God the sacrifice of my flesh. But one day, after years of struggle, I came to the truth of the statement of Christ and realized the truth of it. Apart from him, I could do nothing. But thank God, in the same day, I also learned the truth that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so rather than being all wiped out because I can't do anything in myself, I rejoice because of what I can do in him. I can do all things through Christ. Those are two verses that I count extremely important in my own experience, vitally important. To learn those two verses is vital to Christian growth. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have done well in that you communicated to my needs. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, and Philippi was in the area of Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. When I left you, you were the only church. Now, there was the church of Thessalonica that Paul established. The church of Berea, they didn't do anything for him. The only church that really sought to help Paul and support that ministry was the church of Philippi. For even in Thessalonica, when I was there, you sent to take care of my needs. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. I love that. Paul is thanking them for what they sent. Not because I desire a gift. I desire that fruit might abound to your account. Now, God has a very interesting bookkeeping system. And in God's bookkeeping system, your investments that you make in the kingdom of God bring fruit to your account. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust can corrupt and decay and thieves can break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where these things cannot happen. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God accounts to the person who supports the missionary the fruit that comes from the missionary's service. How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? So those that send share equally in the fruit of the ministry of those who go. That is why in supporting a ministry, I want to be very careful what ministry I support. I want to make sure that it is an effective ministry doing a good work for God, because there's a lot of charlatans out there that are padding their own pockets and not really doing a real service for God. We were in Goroka, New Guinea, a beautiful place. Sort of an idyllic place to live. Weather is perfect year-round, and just up in the highlands of New Guinea, just beautiful, beautiful streams, beautiful forest, beautiful place to live. And as they were taking us through there, they said, there's just a lot of paper missionaries here. And I said, paper missionaries, what do you mean? And he said, there are a lot of people who have retired here in Goroka who get their support by writing letters to people in the United States and Australia and England, sharing with them their ministry here among the New Guinea people. And what they do is they get in their Land Rovers and they go out to the villages and they pass out candy to the children. And they'll take pictures of the children reaching out for candy. And then they will send these pictures and letters back to the people and say, you know, the children are reaching out for the New Testaments that we're passing out in the villages and all. And look at how, you know, all of the children and all, what a tremendous response. And God's doing a glorious work and all. People are supporting them. Yet they're just retired. They don't do anything but go out to the village once a month to take pictures of kids getting candy. Unfortunately, those people do exist. Frauds. Charlatans. They'll have to answer to God. The World Council of Churches uses a portion of their funds to support terrorist groups in Africa, supporting the PLO and their terrorism program. A lot of missionaries were killed in Zimbabwe by the terrorists. Missionary children by the dollars given in the churches that have a part in the National Council of Churches and World Council of Churches. I wouldn't give a dime to any church that's affiliated with the World Council of Churches, knowing that a portion of that dime would be going to support the World Council of Churches. I don't want to be giving money to terrorists in Africa who are murdering missionaries and their families. Nor would I want to be supporting Angela Davis's defense which received a generous contribution from the National Council of Churches. Careful where you invest. Paul said that fruit might abound to your account. Well, there's some kind of fruit that I really don't want to my account. And thus, I don't want to invest in that. I want to know that there is a valid, legitimate work being done and that it is a fruit-bearing work, that fruit might abound. I want to support that kind of work. And so Paul said, not that I desire a gift. I desire that fruit might abound to your account. But I have everything. I have all. I have all. I abound. Got plenty. What a beautiful thing to say. Even though you're broke, I have all. I abound. Why? Because I have Jesus. That's enough. I'm full. Having received from Epaphroditus the things that you sent, an odor of sweet smell, probably some cologne, I guess, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing unto God. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that a glorious promise? Take hold of it tonight. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, who can measure that kind of riches? If God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how much more then shall he not freely give us all things? Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All of the saints salute you, chiefly those that are of Caesar's household. As Paul was chained to the Roman guard, those were Caesar's guards, and so many of Caesar's household send their greetings through Paul, who had received Christ because of Paul's imprisonment there. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Beautiful, beautiful epistle to the Philippians.
Life is full of choices, and the most important one is how you live the life God has given you. In Pleasing God, beloved teacher Kay Smith speaks straight to the heart of every woman who wants her life to truly matter. With her signature blend of honesty, humor, and compassion, Kay shows how to simplify life by putting God first, living every day as a fragrant offering to Him. Learn how to deal with sin, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, praise God through trials, and turn even the smallest moments into acts of worship. You've been given one life. Don't waste it for yourself. Offer it back to the one who created you, redeemed you, and promised you heaven. Pleasing God and the Companion Journal are available now. Order your copy at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. Don't wait. Choose to live a life that truly pleases God.
And now may God cause you to abound in love and in your walk in the Spirit. And may indeed you find the promise to be true as God supplies all of your need, spiritual, financial, physical, according to his riches in glory. By Christ Jesus our Lord. God bless and keep you and give you a beautiful week. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Colossians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning reading Philippians 4. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Church on the edge of town. Do, 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 do. People coming every day from miles around for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see it's not the way it used to be. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.